Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Psalms 48, the 48th Psalm. I have been preparing for this Sunday to preach. I thought all week long I knew what I was going to preach, and the Lord kind of changed my mind. I had the impression to read this Psalm and try to speak from some of its passages. And this is a very special song. It's a song that reflects the greatness of God's deliverance, particularly upon Jerusalem. Some say that this psalm was constructed after the preservation of Jerusalem, after the invasion of Ammon and the Moabites during the time of Jehoshaphat from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Just a phenomenal story about the invasion upon Jerusalem, and the king Jehoshaphat went before the Lord and just asked the Lord for deliverance. God told him to get the choir together and go out and approach this massive army by singing praises to his name. And, you know, Jehoshaphat didn't hesitate a moment. He gathered the choir together and he said, "Listen, folks, just believe in God. Believe in the Lord." This is what he said in the 20th chapter of Chronicles. "Believe in the Lord and he shall establish you. Believe in the Lord and he shall prosper you." So the choir gathered and went out to fight this big army, and they sang a song, and God came down and said boo and destroyed that army. And Jerusalem was protected. Just a great story of deliverance upon Jerusalem. Some say that this particular psalm had great relevance during the days of Hezekiah. We've been studying about Sennacherib a few months ago, and the 135,000 soldiers that set siege upon Jerusalem, and all the difficulties concerning Hezekiah about trusting the Lord. And Hezekiah the king kept telling them, "Just trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord." I mean, Sennacherib was a madman, and his brutality was just sweeping across the world. And he conquered the whole known world. I put a map up on the chart and showed the territory that Sennacherib, the Assyrian king, conquered. And there's just one little dot on the whole map of the world that was preserved. And you know what that was? That was Jerusalem. Jerusalem was protected. God said that he would protect Jerusalem. And if the people would just trust him, they would be preserved. And that was the message of the prophets. That was Isaiah's message to the people of Jerusalem. Just trust in the Lord. Don't depend upon the chariots of Egypt. Don't try to make some alliance with some other nation. Just trust in the Lord, and the Lord will keep you safe. And of course, God did. Exactly what he promised, he did. Everything that God has promised in his word, he has by his works performed. He has kept and done everything that he has promised in his sacred word. I want to speak to you today about two things as I read these verses of scripture. I want to speak to you about some of the promises that have been made to the church and some of the proclamations that I heard in my childhood. Some of the promises that were made to the church and some of the proclamations that I heard in my childhood. This psalm is a, like I said, it's a celebration, but it's also an instructional psalm. We are protected by God. There are certain things that God has promised to protect. Jerusalem was one of those. And in this, you're going to read how God protected Jerusalem and how that those generations that experienced the protection and the security of God were to transmit that to the next generation. And we have an obligation, we have a responsibility to transmit the power of God and the protection of God upon the church to the next generation. We have that obligation. We have that responsibility. That they too can look at what God has done in our lives, how that He has protected His church and protected His people and seen us through great difficulty and preserved us, and they can be assured that what God has promised, He will perform. This great psalm. How that God restrained and repelled evil from Jerusalem is amazing. It's amazing. And of course, most of us are aware of the fact, as we read this psalm, that Zion or Jerusalem, natural Jerusalem, was a type, it was a shadow of the true Jerusalem, the spiritual Jerusalem of God. Like we read about in the book of Hebrews, that we, the church, has come to Zion. We've come to Zion. We've entered into spiritual Jerusalem. We are citizens of that heavenly country. We have received some special promises because of that. Now let me just a footnote as I read this particular psalm. There's a promise, a statement concerning the everlasting protection of Jerusalem. I mean, it was even mentioned this morning about what transpired during the time of Nebuchadnezzar. And Jerusalem was totally annihilated. They were destroyed. They became a wasteland. And over again, the city of Jerusalem, well, there's been times when it was the most unsafe place on the face of the earth. And even today, Jerusalem is a very dangerous place. And yet in this psalm, there's a statement regarding its everlasting protection. Folks, listen to me. This psalm is talking about the promises and the protection that's provided to the church of Jesus Christ, the true Israel of God. Okay? It shall never be destroyed. The gates of hell shall never prevail against it. Amen. If you really become a stickler about this psalm, and you read it and you believe it to be true, we know that many of these things did not actually transpire with natural Jerusalem, but the true Jerusalem of God, it has taken place. Okay? So I want to read starting in verse 1. Great is the Lord! Now, let me just pause and say, as we look back over the protection and the provision of God upon the church, we ought to rejoice in the Lord. What God has brought us through as a church. I mean, we're talking about through the history of the church. I mean, we have had many adversaries and many enemies. In the book of Jude, it tells us that we have foes from without and we have mischief from within that we need to be protected from. It's not just the outside forces, but also the inside forces that we need protection from. That's what Jude said. The church needs to be watching for danger to lurk with respect to its doctrine, with respect to its unity, with respect to its preservation as the people of God. And there's one thing that we always need and must have, and it's the presence of the Lord. The reason Jerusalem lost, okay, its safety was because they had sinned it away. Not sent it away, they sinned it away. Right? They sinned it away. You know, you read in the book of Ezekiel, and the great prophet Ezekiel, he saw the glory of God leaving Jerusalem. He saw it. You could start in like what, chapter 8 or chapter 7, running on through chapter 10 and chapter 11. He saw it lift up off of the mount. He saw it go through the eastern gate over the Mount of Olives. And as it is recorded in the book of Samuel, Ichabod, the glory of the Lord has left Israel. Departed, it was gone. Ezekiel saw the glory of God leave Jerusalem. Folks, listen to me. The protection upon Jerusalem always was a spiritual spiritual protection and not a natural protection. It always was the presence of God. And when God left the building, the protection and safety was removed. Let me say this about the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus has not left the church. He told us before He left, He stood there among the disciples and He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And He said, lo, I'll be with you always, teaching them to observe all things. And lo, I'll be there always with you. I'll always be with the church. Always, always. Everybody say always. Lo, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the earth. I tell you what, the Lord's going to be here. The church is going to be here with the Lord. The Lord's going to be with the church. Let me get it right. The Lord is going to be with the church when this world is on fire. When it's all said and done, the Lord is still going to be with His church. He will find faith here when He returns. He will. We have undergone many dangers. Satan has been trying to destroy the church. All through the years, you study our history. He's tried to destroy the church that Jesus set up. But praise God, we have in the 16th chapter of Matthew a wonderful promise. He said, upon this rock, Jesus did, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, all of Satan's attempts, shall never destroy the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Praise God. Praise God. So we have something to rejoice about. Something to celebrate. We are privileged and we are blessed as a people. And I've got to move on. Be part of the glorious promises that were given to the church. The church is still here. Still holding to the doctrines of its head and founder. The Spirit of the Lord is still with His people. The power of God is still present with us. We need to celebrate that. We need to mark well the bulwarks, our true protection. Look at Jerusalem from not naturalized, but was spiritualized. That's how this psalm was actually written. Great is the Lord! He has seen us through another tragedy. He has seen us through another trial. He has seen us through another attack. We need to convey that to the next generation, because the next generation is going to have to man up. We're going to have to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. But what has brought the church through the centuries thus far will keep the church through the centuries till He returns in His second coming. Amen. And you're going to have to stay strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You're going to put on the whole armor of God. You're going to be ready to fight against the principalities and powers and the rulers of the dark places. The church is going to have many attacks against it. But listen, church, stay true to God. Don't send away the presence of the Lord. Stay true to Him. Stay true to Him. And He'll be true to you. All right. I've got to read this. You know, I read a lot of church history, and I look at the protection that God has provided His people through the years. And you know, our worst enemy is the devil, and of course ourselves. Right? I mean, if we, you know, I could, in the book of Samuel, you know, as they saw the ark of the Lord take off and said, Ichabod, 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 the glory of the Lord is leaving Jerusalem. The glory of the Lord is leaving Israel. There it goes. There it goes. And when we see those dangers lurking, just like Ezekiel did and saw the glory going through the gate, the eastern gate, and descending over the Mount of Olives, we need to warn folks that if we don't turn back to God, God will no longer protect us and provide what we need. We got to stay true to God. Got to stay true to God.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mount of His holiness. And I got to read this. I got to move on. Beautiful for situations, for the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion.
Folks, there's no greater blessing to any community, any society, than a sound church of Jesus Christ. No greater attraction, no greater spiritual blessing in a city than a sound church of Jesus Christ. They're few and far between, folks. And you're privileged and you're blessed to be bringing your family to a church that preaches, "Thus saith the Lord." You're blessed. You're privileged to be in the house of God. Be part of the household of faith. Be part of this glorious city of the King. You know why it's the city of the King? Well, because the King resides here. Yeah. All right, I got to move on. Okay. He said, joy of the whole earth. It's joy of the whole earth in Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great King. The city of the great King. I need to move on. I got a lot of good thoughts about that, but I need to move on. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Verse 4. For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed together. They saw it. And so they marveled. They were troubled and hastened away. Fear took hold upon them there. And pain has a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind, as we have heard. That's talking about what we heard from the preacher, what we heard from the prophets, what we heard from God, what He told us, the promises He gave us, those insights that He informed us of, those special providential revealings that came to us, what we heard from God. So we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. Notice there, God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God. And I hope today you're thinking of the loving kindness of God toward us as a church. O God, in the midst of thy temple, according to thy name of God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Those things we have heard, we've also seen with our eyes. Those promises that were given to us, that we heard proclaimed to us, those proclamations that we heard from the Word of God, we have seen with our eyes. It's true, I tell you. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad. Because of thy judgments, or those providential protections upon us. Walk about Zion. Now, this walk means to survey. Walk about Zion. Go around about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider, you might in your, if you have any kind of study Bible, there'll be an asterisk there, a K or something there that will point out this word consider. It's the only place this word is used in the Hebrew. It's a passage. Like I said, it occurs nowhere else. It'll be in the margin of your Bible and it'll probably be raise up. In other words, it means to divide up or walk through and survey them or detail them one by one. Walk about Zion. Survey these things that the Lord has done. Record them and convey them to the next generation. About her palaces and the royal residence of that place. Folks, listen to me. What a blessing it is to have your family within the walls of Zion. To be raised up, hearing the Word of God, and for your children to be exposed to the power of the Holy Ghost. What a blessing that is. There is no greater blessing out there, folks, in this life than to go through that.
families. We have a royal priesthood. I mean, we have royal blood flowing through our veins. I remember that song that was written by Brother Moran, you know, about being a royal member of God's family. And there's royalty because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ applied to our account. We're not just saved. We are saints. Bible says that we are kings and princesses and priests in His kingdom. Wow, I can't even fathom that. But anyway, that's what it says. Talking about the palaces, he says, go about Zion, walk about, survey, go around her, and tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may what? What does it say in verse 13? That you might reveal or convey or tell to the next generation that follows. Tell them. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide forever, even unto death. So he's talking about surveying and celebrating in the city of God. Well, you know, I've already mentioned several things, but if history has taught us anything, it's taught us this one thing, that when we lose the presence of God, we lose the protection of God. If history has taught us anything, if you've read the Word of God, that's one prevailing teaching in Scripture. If we lose the presence of God, we lose the protection of God. And, you know, our protection here, it's not the pastor that protects it, or the deacons that protect it, or the elite people of the church, or the elders of the church that protect the church. Our preservation and the preservation of the church has been, as we read, and like Zechariah, it's not of might or of power, but it is by the Spirit of the Lord that we are protected. And that needs to be conveyed to the next generation. You may upset people, but don't upset Jesus. You may offend people, but make sure as a church you don't offend the Lord. He's more important than people. And His presence here is more important than people's presence. Okay? The strength, the beauty of Jerusalem, it always, always, always was the presence of the Lord. The glory of Jerusalem was the glory of the Lord. And so is it in the church. Jesus needs to remain here. His power, His Spirit needs to abide here in order for us to be protected. Now, these everlasting promises, they weren't necessarily fulfilled with natural Jerusalem, but they are fulfilled in spiritual Jerusalem. I believe the stability and the perpetuity of Jerusalem, it was only a type and a shadow of the preservation and the perpetuity guaranteed to the church. Should have written that down. When he says here this everlasting presence, there's only one eternal everlasting presence in heaven, and it is the bride of Jesus Christ. Wow. Listen, I'm assured in Scripture and by the promises of the Lord that the church is forever. It is forever. It is established forever. The church is established forever. You know why? Because we're built on an everlasting rock. Jesus Christ. We have an everlasting head. Jesus Christ. We're founded on Jesus Christ. And for the church to fail, our foundation must fail. And our foundation is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's eternal. He's God manifest in the flesh. Praise God. And so it is established forever. It's promised by our founder. And he's the one that established this Zion. Looking like Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 32. It says, the Lord will establish Zion. The Lord will establish Zion. David established Jerusalem. He took it from the Jebusites. But there's a Zion that has been established by the Lord. I'm talking about the God of heaven establishing a kingdom that will destroy and crush all the other kingdoms of this world. And of this kingdom, there will be no end. Praise God. Anyway, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19, it talks about us. It talks about us being strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the saints of the household of God, and that we are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being our chief cornerstone, in whom we are a building fitly framed to grow together into a holy temple. Why do we grow up into a holy temple, into the Lord? For the inhabitation of God by the Spirit. Listen, folks, we are His temple. The church is the temple of God in this spiritual Jerusalem. And our power comes through the presence of the Lord. So, I think we ought to rejoice. I think we ought to be glad because of what God has done for us. He has preserved us, hasn't He? Walk about Zion. Check and see what kind of unity we have. Check and see what kind of soundness we have as a church. Check and see where the Spirit of the Lord reside, whether the Spirit of the Lord continues to reside with us. I tell you what, the Savior among us, it is the greatest honor we have. The greatest honor we have. It is our glory. His loving kindness, that is our theme. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16, for ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Listen, the bulwarks are not walls and towers. The bulwarks are the faithfulness, the love and faithfulness of God. Him preserving us and protecting us. His power, the power of Jesus Christ. And we need to walk about and stroll about Zion. And we need to survey the towers. We need to mark well the bulwarks. The great promises that have been given to the church. Jesus Christ has been faithful. He has been true. He has kept His promises. He has been here with us. No matter what we suffer and what we go through, He has protected us when we trusted in Him. Now, you know, I've gone through various things in my pastorate and my ministry, you know, been threatened and things of that nature. But I tell you what, I'm not afraid of man, but I am afraid of God. And I'm going to obey God no matter what man says. And folks, that must be the attitude of the church. It was the attitude in the book of Acts, and it needs to be the attitude today. We're here to please God and not man. Please God and not man. All right, I need to move on. Let me get to my second point. All right, look at verse 8. This is going to be my text. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts. You know, when I grew up in church. I grew up in a missionary Baptist church, and the first place I was taken was Pleasant Hill Missionary Baptist Church up in Simpson County, Kentucky. And I remember growing up and hearing people testify and hearing the preaching and hearing those things stated in Sunday school from the Word of God concerning my sinfulness, that I was a sinner, that all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. I remember them talking about how that this sin put me in condemnation and that I was guilty before God. I mean, a lot of times, you know, I sat there and maybe it didn't seem like that I was paying attention as a child, but the Word of God was getting into my ears and I was hearing what all those folks were saying. I heard the testimonies of God's people, and they would tell about the conviction of sin, the condemnation that they experienced because of the atoning death of Jesus Christ. How that Jesus Christ was lifted up on a cross, and it caused condemnation for their sins as they looked on Him whom they had pierced. I heard it with my ears. One day when I was about an 8-year-old boy, I felt it in my soul. Those things I saw, those things I heard, I began to see and experience. Those things I heard became a reality. And I got under conviction of sin. Anybody relate to that? Suddenly, I was lost. I was under condemnation. Suddenly, I was undone. I realized that I was separated from God. Well, people told me that. I heard that priest. I heard the word of God. That there's none good. No, not one. Well, one day it became a reality to me. And I realized that I was one of those that was not good. Nothing in me was good. Not one single part of me was good. I knew I was lost before God. I felt the condemnation and the sin. What I heard, I began to experience as a reality. Those preachers, they stood and they preached the Word of God, and they preached that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save me, to deliver me, to ransom me. What I heard concerning if I would come to Him, that He would receive me if I would come, that all those that come, He would in no wise cast out. They'd get up and they'd preach, come, what Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labored, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That if I would come to the Lord and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, I heard that He died for me, that He would save me and He would deliver me from my sins. And what I heard preached one day became a reality. What I had heard, the eyes of my soul were able to see. I heard them talk about that I needed to repent and put faith in Jesus Christ. You know, I heard them talk about regeneration, that I must be born again and that I must be born from above. Those are things that I heard, you know, about being saved, that I would know that I would pass from death into life, that I would know there'd be a change, that I'd become a new creature in Christ Jesus, that all things would pass away, and behold, all things would become new. I mean, some of the stuff they were preaching to me, I thought was somewhat absurd, almost impossible. They told me that when I put faith in Jesus Christ, that the Holy Ghost would come in and live in my soul. That Christ would get in me, and I'd be in Him. I mean, somebody living in me? I mean, it seemed almost impossible, incomprehensible what they were saying. I heard it. I heard what they said about being regenerated. I heard what they said about being born again. I heard what they said about this new life coming in you that wasn't in you before, that would make a change in your life and transform you. And those things that I heard, praise God, I have seen. Amen. Because I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of my sins, putting faith in Jesus Christ, and experienced the new birth. You know, I heard them preach. I'm talking about living and growing up within the walls of Zion. And the things that I heard. I heard them talk about, you know, sanctification. I heard them talk about the chastening of the Lord. I heard about, you know, once that you were attached to Christ, you couldn't get detached to Christ. I heard those things growing up, didn't you? That if you sinned, He would not utterly cast you out, but that He would come and chasten you. Those are the things I heard. Folks, I'm telling you, it's a reality. You sin against the Lord and you're one of His children, He will come and chasten you. And if He doesn't come and chasten you, you are a bastard and not a son. Amen. Growing up, you know, my family was very faithful to church. And I remember hearing about the security that was in Christ Jesus. I remember growing up and hearing the preacher say, if you'll put Jesus first and His kingdom, everything in life will be given to you that you need. And then what Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, His righteousness, and everything else will be provided. Folks, Those are not just things I've heard. Those are the things that I have experienced in my life. You cling to the Lord, and the Lord will be there for you. He will protect you. He will provide your needs according to the riches and glory. Those things that I heard, so we have seen. I remember talking about providence. I remember people talking about, you know, bad things happening. I mean, things that was just terrible that would go on in your life. Trials. I mean, terrible trials that you go through in your life. I remember hearing those old preachers and people of old say, you know what? What the devil intended for evil, God has worked good. I mean, they're talking about that those that love the Lord Jesus Christ, all things will work together for them that love the Lord and them that are called according to His purpose. And I'll tell you what, there's things in my life that I've went through and they were terrible, it seemed like. But looking back, bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. I've experienced the providence of God. I'll tell you what, if I were to go through this congregation today and ask people to stand up who's experienced in their life the presence of the providence of God working out situations in your life, I venture to say not only you but thousands would stand up around the world. For what we have heard, we have experienced, we have seen it. It is a reality in our lives. His sanctuary. Got one more point. I'm going to close. Appreciate you listening to me today. You know, my dad's a deacon and in Missionary Baptist Church. And, you know, growing up in a Missionary Baptist Church family, we go through a lot of stuff, don't we? I mean, you just go through stuff that don't even make sense sometimes. Oh, come on. But you know what my dad always said? You know what he always told me? You just cling to the Lord and you stay true to His church no matter what. And the Lord will see you through. He's promised in His Word. There are special graces that are given within the walls of Zion and in His church that you cannot experience out there in the world. I believe you need to keep your family in church. Amen. Sure do. Good things happen here. They learn things here that they won't learn out in the world. Amen. They'll experience things here they cannot experience in the world. They'll enjoy things here that they cannot enjoy out in the world. Because we are not of the world. Amen. Well, get a song, Brother Dale. I want us to sing. The fullness of this revelation of what we have heard, we've not fully experienced yet, have we? I mean, there's still stuff that's been promised to the church. There are still things that have been promised to the believer that we've not yet enjoyed and not yet experienced, right? But I assure you, those things that we have heard, we will one day see. All of my life, I've heard about the second coming of Christ. That the Lord's coming. All of my life, I've heard about the Lord Jesus Christ coming in power and great glory. I'll tell you something. One of these eyes shall see Him and not another. And He will call and I will answer Him. The fullness of what we have heard concerning the church and concerning our lives has not yet been fully experienced, but one day we will.